Lord, thank you for your word to us. We pray that you'll open our hearts to the things that you want to say to us at this time and in this year ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do please sit down. I pray, conscious that the very next thing I'm going to say is neither edifying nor theologically correct. There was a young boy, nearly Christmas it was, and he really wanted a bicycle. So he thinks that probably he should pray about it, and probably he should be good. So he decides he'll write a letter to Jesus. He goes up to his room. Dear Jesus, if I get a bike for Christmas, I'll be good for a whole year. And he thinks about it. Then he scrabbles up the letter, throws it away. Starts again. Dear Jesus, if I get a bike for Christmas, I promise I'll be good for a whole month. He thinks more about things and scrubbles that one up and throws it away. Dear Jesus, if I get a bike for Christmas, I promise to be good for a whole week. Nope, that goes in the bin. Dear Jesus, whole day. He even throws that one away. Then he has an idea. And he gets up and he creeps down to the sitting room. And he goes over to the crib set. And he takes one of the figures, puts it in a sock, and then hides it in his drawer in his room. Then he goes back to his pen and paper. Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, give me a bike for Christmas. As I say, there's not good theology in that at all. I hope you had a really good Christmas, and I don't suppose many of us got bikes for Christmas. But anyway, there's lots of really great stuff about Christmas, isn't there, which at its best we are able to enjoy. And as Christians, at the heart of it all, of course, is the wonder of Jesus born to Mary, born laid in a manger. This is God becoming one of us. This little baby is God with us. Emmanuel. It's just wonderful. At the midnight service on Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day, both in fact, but it's probably Christmas Eve when she talked about it, Rachel talked about the invitation that we have, and we often sing actually, to come and behold him, to come and adore him, and then also to offer him, to invite him ourselves to abide with us. And that invitation goes out because, of course, it's not just the baby in the manger who Jesus is, who God with us is, but all that Jesus became, all that he grew up to do, and all that means to us now. Do we think about that enough? We had that wonderful song, Mary, Did You Know, which was on screen at the midnight service. Just a sort of a thought about what Mary knew about what was going on. Of course, we don't know all of it, but did Mary know that this baby boy was going to grow up to become the saviour of the world? All of these things. Do we think enough about that? These are all really wonderful things that we can think about as Christians at Christmas, as well as enjoying all of the other wonderful Christmas stuff that's come through faith and through tradition. And now we head into the new year, and we have two readings which take us a step on into what it means that Jesus was born of Mary. Things that can make a huge difference to us as we head on in our lives, as we head on into this new year, which somehow, though it's just another day, as I told somebody back at home, I was shouted down. There's still something special about starting a new year, isn't there? It's a good marker for us. So in Galatians, we read that our Father God sent Jesus to be born of a woman, to become her son, so that we could be adopted as children of God. Without this, we are slaves to the rules of the world, to the bad things, the sin that we all do, and to the law of God that judges that sin. We are slaves, not free, except for what Jesus has done. Because Jesus was born into this world, because he lived the perfect life that he did, and he died, and he rose again, we can stop being slaves and instead be children of God, adopted in his family, as we just sang a little while ago. We can call God Abba, Dad, Daddy. You know, that's a familiar word, not a father sort of word. It's amazing that that is what God offers to us. And just, I was aware of some people who've been singing that song for a little while. Now I am your son. I am adopted in your family. And it's now been changed. Now I am your child. I am adopted in your family. We shouldn't get too hung up on that. But it's interesting that St. Paul talks about sons. And the reason he would do that is because the son, you have the son and heir. And in those days, it was very much the thing that the son was the one who inherited. And so it was significant to say son. I think we can be happy to say child nowadays because we know that is included. We're all heirs, whether we're men or women. Sometimes, probably more often, women are having to cope with words which talk about us as man and men. Men occasionally have this when we're called the bride of Christ. You have to go, oh, all right then. I can kind of imagine that. So I think both ways. God is definitely interested in both men and women, boys and girls. It's just the language sometimes gets in the way a little bit. So in Galatians, we see what an amazing thing it is for us as Christians today that Jesus was born way back then to Mary and became God with us. Because now we can be adopted as God's children. And then in our reading from Matthew, Jesus is encouraging his followers and therefore encouraging us to really treat God as Father, to think about how a father is the best of a father. And to say, well, look, if your earthly fathers will do this for you, how much more will God, your heavenly Father, do things? So we can ask God because he is our Father, a Father who wants good things for his children. So we can come to him in confidence. We can have confidence. And then at the end of that reading, we're encouraged to treat others as we would want them to treat us ourselves. And I think that we can do that so much more easily if we know who we are, if we realise that we are God's children. It's that wonderful phrase, having nothing to prove and nothing to lose. If we know that we're God's children because of something that God has done through faith, us believing it, then God makes us his children. Then we've got nothing to prove and nothing to lose. And the way that we treat other people can be so much more generous, so much more in keeping with treating people as we would like them to treat us. We don't have to be defensive. We don't have to put the walls up. We don't have to keep people at arm's length or whatever it might be. I think knowing who we are is such a good way of knowing how to live in the way that God calls us to. So here we are at the start of a new year, and the reading from Galatians is a really wonderful one for us to have as a church as we take the new year and look back on the year before. The beginning of this year, we began in January with Rachel asking God, is there a word that God wanted to give us as a church for this year? And from the story of the man with the withered hand in the Gospels, so she sensed very much that God was saying something to us as a church, something which other people said, yes, we do believe this is what God's saying. That was a tough thing in a way, and then a great thing. We are a church with a withered hand, but God says, stretch out your hand. And we've spent time in the year gone by, thinking about that. We are a church with a withered hand, but God says, stretch out your hand. And we've stretched out our hand as a church and received God's freedom and his healing. And that's been absolutely wonderful. And a song has come into that time, which is very much linked with this passage in Galatians, because we've been singing about being free. We've been thinking in September about being free. And the song that we've been singing is called No Longer Slaves. We're no longer slaves to fear. We sing, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And on our day away, we were encouraged to actually think of that differently and sing, we are no longer a church of fear. We are a church of God. So we've been receiving from God in something which so much echoes this passage in Galatians, no longer slaves, but children of God. And I think that's wonderful on the very first day of this year that the reading that comes to us through the Church of England lectionary is one that reminds us so much of the work that God's done in the year gone by to heal the withered hand of us as a church. And then we're moving on into a new year, and we're going to be talking about it and just reminding ourselves, not now, but I'm sort of in passing, of all of the things that have grown out of that time that we've had looking to God, asking for freedom and saying, what next? So many of the things that have happened over Christmas have been either started from or been greater because of things that we've, as a church, said, yes, we feel God's calling us to do this. And so we've been stretching out our hand, not just for freedom and healing for ourselves as a church, but to bring blessing to the town around us. And that's what has been so much of our experience over this Christmas time, and what blessing it has been to us as people have come in, or if we've gone out to see people. But what we're really hoping and praying and believing is that that brings blessing to other people as we do that. God's blessing, which through his generosity is able to be brought as we stretch out our hand to be a people of blessing. It's really good to think as a church about where we've been in this year gone by, and to look forward in trust and expectation and knowing it'll be God who does it for what he will do with us in the year ahead. I actually want to give you an opportunity now to do a bit of thinking backwards and forwards for yourselves. You all, I hope, got a scrap of paper. Some of you may have had a very nice clean sheet. Some of you may have got some leftover advertising which we didn't use at Christmas time. The idea of this sheet of paper is that at least one side of it is clear of any writing. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to write or draw or even just think, if you really want to, on that. But the first thing you need to do is to fold the paper in half and then fold in half again so that it's really quite small. The only reason you're doing this is because when you open it up again, you've got four quarters. So if you want to do that another way, you'll be fine. So you now have a piece of paper with four quarters on it. And I would suggest you put it sideways because you can fit more on it, probably sideways. But you can do what you like. The idea here is that in the top left quarter, where up at the top left there, that you would write or draw something that you're thankful for in the year that's just gone by. I see Phil with paper and pens. If you haven't got pen or paper, then wave your hand, and I think Phil will be able to produce something else. No, it looks like most people have. So in that top left corner, write something down or draw a picture that represents something that you're thankful for in the last year, the year that we've just finished. And then when you've got something you're thankful for, it doesn't have to be everything, then underneath it, in the bottom box on the left-hand side, write down something that you would like to leave behind, in, as it were, in that year, as we come into the new year, either because you're choosing to leave it behind because you've got that choice, or because you're praying that God will be able to make it a thing of the past. It's not your choice whether you can leave it behind, but you would want to leave it behind and ask God to help it to, you know, to make that be. So underneath there, something that you want to leave behind in the year that's just gone by. And then at the top of the page, at the top right, to write down something that you're hoping for or looking forward to in this year ahead. Something that you're looking forward to or something that you're hoping for in the year ahead. So we're thinking about the year ahead of us now. You write something down that you're looking forward to or hoping for. And then finally at the bottom, to write down something in the bottom right that you want to commit to, something you want to resolve to or to ask God to do for you, maybe, in the year ahead. So something of a commitment or a prayer that you want to make as we step into 2017 now. We're not going to do anything with those bits of paper. You can do what you like with them, but they hopefully are a way of you being able to take a moment at the beginning of this year and to do that in God's presence, because there's a reminder from our readings that we are children of God and that God is our provider and God can be trusted. And so I want to actually move, slight change from the published order of service, move into a time of prayer now as we have these things held before us and as we step into this new year. So just as we sit, or if you'd like to kneel, then let's pray as we are.